Just get my drinking water out here. There we go. Hopefully I won't need all 10 liters during the service. It seems very quiet this morning. So I'd like you, the South Africans, you know, we're still getting into this thing of keeping a 1 meter distance between people and not to hug and kiss them. And I've broken all of those rules this morning, so I'm already apologizing for that. So just turn to your neighbor and say, good morning, God bless you. Okay, so we've got that out of the way. No kissing there at the back, Trevor and Lynette. Hi. It's wonderful, and it's such a privilege for me to be with you this morning to share the word. We were in Cape Town last weekend. Craig was cycling the Argus, which is now the Cape Town Cycle Tour, but everyone still refers to it as the Argus. So we really missed you. I saw some people during the week, and I said, I haven't seen you in ages. And she looked at me, she says, no, it was only Sunday. So we've missed you, and it's very lovely to be back. And I've got a word on my heart that the Lord's actually been massaging into my spirit since January, but we'll get to that. So just as an introduction, in December, Craig and I, we drove down to Cape Town, and we obviously knew that there's a drought. There's been a drought in the Karoo area probably for the last 5 years or so, but I don't think we really understood the size and the magnitude and the impact of it. As we drove out of Bloemfontein, as you were heading towards Beaufort West and those areas, all of a sudden, every single garage, the loo didn't work. There was no water. They had these potties that you had to go to. And everywhere, people started dropping off bottles of water like this. And I went into the one garage, and there was a big sign up to say, no, farmers are desperate for water. So whatever donations you can give, please could you leave it. And that was a bit of the story right through our drive through the Karoo. Now, I've got a great love for the Karoo. I love the Karoo. I've said to Craig, I would love to retire there. I don't know what I'll do. I can't farm. But, yeah, do something creative. I don't know, if there's enough people in the Karoo to do something creative. But anyway, so, but what I noticed, often in our driving through the Karoo, you still see a lot of sheep and goats, and you see ostriches, and you see the windmill going, and you see the water flowing out. The difference is this year, we didn't see any of that. We didn't see any of that. On our way back, the 3rd of January, we stepped over on a farm just outside Beaufort West, and it was a working farm, and I was expecting to see little lambs and sheep and goats and, you know, animals and donkeys and all of that, and I said, well, where are they? And they said, well, what stopped happening is that they've stopped taking them up to the fields for grazing and leaving them there because there's no water and there's no graze. So they've brought the animals, what they had left, brought it back closer to the farmstead, so to speak, so just on the outskirts of the farm, and then they would feed them and water them from the barns and from the windmill dam there. So you can't feed a whole flock like that. So obviously it had shrunk significantly. And that morning, the 3rd of January, as we left there, the Lord dropped this message into my heart. And he's been speaking to me a lot with this message. Sally, if we can just do that first clip, please, the first video. Just have a look. I just want you just to see this. And then I'm going to ask you to play it again afterwards so that as you watch this, you can just see. You can play it again. Thanks, Sally. So in August last year, Craig and I took our caravan and our 4x4 and we went to Bavianskloof. Now, that's in the middle of the Karoo. And it's what they refer to as the Green Karoo. But that portion, that stretch of the kloof that they're in, farmers farm there, but very limited type of farming because it's very dry and it's a very tough terrain. Now, we went and we visited this farm called Sewefontein. And you won't believe it, on this one farm, owned by not a farmer, but by the community, there's seven fountains, natural fountains. This is the biggest one. It was drilled more than 100 years ago. It's on the farm, Sewefontein, and you will not believe it, that water pumps out every single day of the year, 24 hours, 108,000 liters of water an hour, without a pump. That water pumps out of a vein of water about, I think they said about 1.5 kilometers deep that they've drilled in, and that water pumps out all the time. That is a fountain. The next photo is a well, a cistern, a holding place. And there's a big difference between the two. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of what the Lord placed in my heart in January. But can I just pray for us? Father, just as we've just now just laid a foundation for this fountain, even looking at that picture, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that as I start sharing this message that you've laid on my heart, that you would come and put life into it and life into our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you speak the words this morning? Whatever comes out of my mouth, may you take it and plant it into fertile soil. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to take out your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2, verse 13, and I'd ask that you get a pen out as well, please. Just tell me when you're ready. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. When I first read the scripture, it was on the morning of the 3rd of January, as I said, and I wrote some questions down in my journal, and the Lord really arrested my heart with the scripture. It sounds very stern, and I want to say the Lord's serious this morning, but not too serious. So he loves us. He says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So I wrote the following four questions down in my journal, and I'm going to share them with you. I'm going to be very vulnerable. And I'm praying that as the morning goes, that the Lord's going to drop his own questions in your heart. And please be brave enough to write them down. What and who is my true source? Do I draw from both the fountain and the cistern? What things, people, goals are cisterns in my life that are broken and cannot hold water that will satisfy my soul? What fountains have I shut down by digging my own cistern? So I'd like us to just take a moment and actually just unpack the scripture a little bit. Oh, must I repeat them? Okay. What and who is my true source? Do I draw from both the fountain and the cistern? What things, people, goals are cisterns in my life that are broken and cannot hold water that will satisfy my soul? What fountains have I shut down by digging my own cistern? So I'd like us just to take a few minutes just to unpack the scripture a little bit, just so that we have this reference in the back of our minds. So Jeremiah was sent as a prophet to the nation of Judah. So that was during the time when the Israel nation was split into the northern and the southern nation. But he was sent as a prophet to Judah, and their capital city, their city where they worship, was Jerusalem. And the purpose of Jeremiah's call was to urge God's people to turn from their sin and turn back to him. So as we unpack this verse, I'm going to ask you to just do a few things, okay? Firstly, can you underline my people? my people. Can you draw a circle around two sins? There where they say, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water, I'd like you to draw a one and underline forsaken and then underline the spring of living water. And then the second part of that scripture where it says, and I have dug, they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. If you can write a number two next to that. Firstly, I think we need to just go back, and at the beginning of that verse it says, my people. Who's my people? Me. It's not Israel. He wasn't speaking to Israel or Judah. He's speaking to my people. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to his chosen people, the ones he loved, the ones he died for, the ones he saved, the ones he redeemed, the ones he delivered from slavery. He's speaking to us. And at times what we do is we look at the Old Testament and say, that doesn't apply to me anymore. The Lord's saying, no, he's speaking to my people. The second portion that I want us to highlight is that word forsaken. Now, I love a dictionary. You know, I'm an Afrikaanse boeremeisie, so sometimes English gets a little bit of a grip on me. And then what I have to do is I have to actually look up the word so that I can unpack it a little bit more. And I find that as I unpack it, the first meaning, the word forsaken, might not have meant anything to me, but as I started unpacking it and actually looking at the scripture, it becomes something different to me because then the Lord starts arresting my heart. And to forsake is to abandon, to desert, to leave behind, to give up on, to renounce, and to refuse. In other words, if I just put that first portion of the scripture back into my language, it says, my people, the ones whom I love and chose as mine, whom I rescued from slavery, whom I sent my son to die for, have abandoned me, deserted me, left me behind, given up on me, renounced me, and refused me. It's quite hard when you hear it like that. And you know, this is God speaking to his people, the ones that he loves. And at times we think, well, it only applies to the people of that time, 627 BC, and it doesn't apply to us today. And I'm going to say, can you open your heart just to hear what the Lord's saying to us today? The next portion of that scripture that I asked you to underline was springs of living water. And as we know, they say that there will be wars over water. You know, you have nations saying that. We have to realize that without water, there is no life. Nothing can grow. Nothing can flourish. Nothing can expand. Animal, plant, and humans. Nothing can live. It's still a sacred commodity, so to speak. This living water, this spring of living water that the Lord speaks about, still remains a symbol of his protection and his cleansing. Do you know that water was used constantly? I mean, in the Old Testament, the Lord constantly, as he gives the laws through to Moses, he tells them to purify themselves, to wash themselves. And it's not just their bodies. They actually have to scrub all their clothes, their shoes, their leather. And it's not like our cotton and linen that dries easily. They had wool, heavy stuff that they had to purify. And they had to wash themselves like twice, three times a week. And so water is this essential part to living and being sacred before the Lord. So when we talk about living water, we're going to talk about it a little bit more. But as we just saw in that clip from Seva from Fontaine, is that this spring of living water that the Lord speaks about here is something that works by itself. There's no human intervention necessary. It actually just comes out. And as it does there, it continues to flow. They actually have to capture it, and then they sell it off, and they plant, and they use it in their households and so on. But they cannot stop the flow of that water because it's connected to the source. It just keeps on pumping up. And that is what living water is. It's this thing that we cannot contain because it naturally just flows out of us. I want to talk a little bit about cisterns. And this bottle of water represents what comes out of a cistern, this water. You could drink it, You won't be entirely healthy, but you could drink it. This represents the living water, the clean water, the water that comes out of the Sevenfontein fountain, the fountain of God. But I want to talk a little bit about cisterns, because I also had to just dig a little bit on that word and say, well, Lord, what does this mean? What is a cistern? And cisterns are pits, wells, containers, or tanks. And what happens is that they are man-made. They don't exist by themselves. They dug out of the earth. The earth is sealed. If you think about who's got a JoJo tank at their house or in their garden, yes. It's something that's a modern-day cistern. A capture of water, and it's man-made. It's dug out. And what happened in the olden days, what actually happened, each one had a cistern, depending on how wealthy you were, it was to capture water. And it was water from rooftops as the water would come down, but it was also water that actually flowed down the streets because it was such a commodity that they needed to capture. Now, if you could imagine water washing down a street and you capturing it, it's gone over everyone's rubbish that they've thrown out, all their potty stuff that they've thrown in the street, the dead rats, the dead animals. That's what the water's flown over, and then it goes into a cistern, and then they used it for their lands. So it would probably be a bit darker than this color. And that is what cistern water is. And it's not healthy, and it's not good for human consumption. I know for some of us that capture, we still have to treat it. It has to go through a filtration system before it can actually come into our house to be used in whichever way, filling up toilets, that type of thing. But it's not water that would be used for purification. And the Lord was quite clear when he spoke to his people. He said, don't use the water from the cistern for purification because it is impure. So that is what a cistern captures. So as we unpack this scripture, we can conclude that what God was saying to his people, he was saying, you are drinking dirty, impure water of your own making. You have carved out of the earth something that is not of me, that represents the culture of the day. You are doing things different to the way that I used to do it, that I told you to do it. You're doing it your way. They have decided not to drink from the fountain of life. They've decided not to drink from the clean water. And what they have done is they've actually substituted what God had given them, and they've substituted for their own thinking, their own way of doing things, their own way of right. Much of the sins committed by the nation in Judah is also a reflection of our modern day sins. And yeah, God was speaking to his people, and I believe that some of the sins that are present in our modern day church, he is still detesting and he's still despising. And he's saying, come back to me. Come back to me. So what are some modern day cisterns? And please, I know some of these I'm going to touch on. I started working when I was 18 years old. I left school and I went and worked for a big corporate. So I know that money doesn't grow on trees. And I know what it takes to build a business. We're in it at the moment, and it's a tough economy. I know what it's like to go to your bank manager and ask for an overdraft to pay wages. So please, when I raise these cistern issues, I'm not speaking from a place of saying that I know and none of these are issues in my life. So I'm going to raise them, and I'm going to say modern-day cisterns include these. The amount of money I've got, how healthy my bank balance is, what work I do, and what my workplace looks like, the businesses I own or the businesses I run, my status or my profile. Now, for some of us, you know, it doesn't matter how many likes we get on Instagram or Facebook, but for others, it's very important. Our status and our profile and how good our picture looks. The power that we can exert on other people, the influence that we have, those are cisterns. Our agenda and our motivations, the things that drive us, you know, the things that get us up in the morning. Is it the fountain or is it this dirty stuff that we build for ourselves? Is it my possessions? Is it my family? Is it how I look at my children, how I worship and idolize them? The time that I cannot function unless my husband's next to me. I'm just saying. Our relationships we have. the powerful people we mix with, how good they dress, what car they drive, you know, what cars are parked outside when I have a braai, my hobbies, my interests, my exercise, my diet, my education, my level of intelligence. You know, I'm not friends with her anymore, but I used to know a girl that she had a requirement, she had a certain level of requirement for her friends on education level. They need to have been graduates, otherwise they couldn't be her friends. Okay? These are the things we build into our life. Even subconsciously, we relate to people who are graduates better than what we do with people who just got a grade 12. Our intelligence, our busyness, our activities, how we relate to social media, my personal pleasures, those systems, you know, the things. Don't mess with the internet because then I don't have Netflix and then there's a problem. Don't unplug the DSTV because then I can't watch soccer tonight and that's a problem. You know, these are the things, you know, even the systems that we have in our lives could even include things of God, where we've twisted things to become and suit us. Does the word really say that? I'm not sure. Maybe not, you know. So there's three important points that I just, before we move on to happier things. At times, what we can do as well, and I've been guilty of this, I spiritualize my cistern living. So I dig a well, I plaster it well, I fill it with clean water, and I stand back and I say, Lord, will you bless this thing of mine? Will you bless this idol that I've built up? Will you come and will you breathe your life into it? Will you make it better? You know, it's a man-made thing to serve man. It will never bring God glory. It will never bring God glory unless his living water flows in and through it. And are there circumstances or situations where God's living fountain, his living spring water has been blocked because you have built a system to hold it? You know, sometimes God comes and he blesses abundantly. And then what we do is we build a holding place for it. We get a bigger house. We get a bigger car. We get more shoes. We buy a new leather handbag. God blesses, and then all of a sudden what we do is we hold it instead of allowing it to flow through our lives and actually flow out and go and bless someone else. So have we done that? Have we built a system so that we can hold what God has blessed us with? And at the end of that verse 13, God says, cisterns that cannot hold water. Our own man-made idols, pursuits, reservoirs, systems cannot hold the water that our souls are thirsting for. Our own systems will always leave us thirsty. You will always want more because it's not how God made you to drink from a cistern. He didn't make you to drink this. It's not good for you. So the next portion of my message I've entitled Cistern Living versus Fountain Living. And what we want to get to a point where God actually arrests our heart and he's saying, live from living water. Don't live from cistern water. You know, it's so, God's so gracious because actually in that verse 7, in that verse 13 where he's speaking to his people and he's saying, you have forsaken me and I have this against you. Two sins, very specifically. He gives them a way out. He says, you have forsaken me, the spring of living water. That's the first portion. So for me, when I look at it, I look at it and I say, okay, well, if forsake was the first sin, which will then cancel out the second sin, how do I make it better? Do the opposite of forsake. Do the opposite. So the opposite is to cherish, to choose, to love, to prefer, to restore, to cultivate, to desire the living water. We really have to work at making the different decision. As an example, fountain living would be Before I run to the bank manager for an overdraft, I go to God and ask him, is it a good idea? And will he give me a way out? That's one way. Before I sell my house and relocate to Cape Town, God, is that a good idea? Is that a good idea? That's fountain living. Cistern living is this all for me, all for me. So what I'm going to touch on now is the living water, the fountain of living water. And I know for some of us, this is really this. I'm preaching and sharing something that a lot of you would know. But I'm trusting that the Lord in this is going to say into your heart, well, where are you? You know this, but where are you with regards to this? And the first portion of the scripture is the Samaritan woman at the well. And it's from John 4, verse 10 to 14. And we all know it so well. So what happens here, Jesus encounters this woman. She doesn't know anything about him. She doesn't know anything about the Messiah. And he shares this word with her. Where she's talking physical water, he's talking spiritual water. So can the Lord come this morning and speak spiritual water to us? And it says here, Jesus answered her from verse 10. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who is it that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Everyone who drinks this water, this cistern water, this well water that gets pulled out, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That picture from the Sevenfontein. Do you believe that God's water in you is like that, welling out of you? There's 4 points on that scripture I just want to touch on. One, Jesus gives living water. Jesus is the water. Jesus gives water that will fully satisfy you. And then the amazing thing, and I'm just always so blown away by his grace, he says that he will give water that will bubble out of you and overflow out of you. He will give so abundantly that you will not need anything else. You will not want anything else because it will just come out like this all the time, like that fountain. Revelation 21, verse 1, 22, verse 1 says, then the angel showed me the river of water of life as clear as crystal. And where was it flowing from? From the throne of God and from the Lamb. He is the source of the living water. Now, you know, humans were made to drink. We actually sort of can't even function. When you start dehydrating, I don't know if you like me, but my brain goes a little bit fuzzy. It goes like, oh, I need water. So our bodies were created to thirst for liquid. And it comes in through our mouth. And that's also a sign of what comes out of it, if it's cistern water or living water. But that's for another day. But humans can only live for about 3 days until they die of dehydration. That's a horrible thought, you know, that you could go so thirsty that all your organs, that the water in your body depletes and all your organs start shutting down. So we were created to thirst. We were created to drink because that's the way we live. That's the way we stay alive. And the Lord's saying, as in the physical, so in the spiritual. Your soul, who you are on the inside of you, were created to thirst for God. You were created to drink of God. He can be the only source that will quench you. You can drink lots of things. You can drink holidays, shopping. The list can go on. Relationships. You can go through all of that, but God's saying no. Like with us, only liquid can satisfy. Have you ever tried to eat when you're thirsty? The food actually can't go down. You can eat, but you're still thirsty. And the Lord's saying, irrespective of what you actually put into yourself, Your soul will thirst for me alone. You will never be satisfied without him. John 7, verse 37 to 38. And John talks a lot about water, bread, the life that Jesus gives. So John 7, 37 to 38, it says, on the last and great day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And there's 5 points that I want us to note from this portion of scripture. And I've said some of them already, but I'm going to just repeat it just for clarity's sake. Revelation 21, verse 6 says, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. The one thing you have to realize is that the water that Jesus gives is free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to do anything for that water. He's saying, all you need to do is two things. He says, come and drink. In other words, come, be thirsty, and come and drink. Two actions that he requires. It's free. You don't have to do anything else. He's just saying, come to me, come thirsty, and come and drink. The second one, and we've already touched on that, is that we have to realize that our human soul, like our physical body, thirsts. And without God, you will always be thirsty. Is there in you, even this morning, even this year as it started, you know, are there things in your soul that you're on the inside that's wrestling? You're just so discontented with life and nothing can satisfy you. And you're looking for that thing, you know. You study your word, you've got journals, you've got Bible studies that you're working through, you know. And you're saying, Lord, I still just don't feel satisfied. I just don't have it. And he's saying, well, what are you drinking? Are you drinking of me? Is your soul thirsting for me? Are you drinking from me? The third point is, what God offers, Jesus says, you will thirst no more. It will satisfy you. It will satisfy you. He says it. He gives that assurance. He's saying, it will satisfy you. And there's a scripture where he says, it will satisfy you forever. Forever it will satisfy you. Imagine being so satisfied with a drink of water that you never need to drink again. It's like they say, it's not a short drink, it's a long drink. It goes on forever and ever and ever. And we have to remember that Jesus is what we drink. It's not our own, it's not of our own making. It's a gift that he's given us. It's who he is. Jesus doesn't just have what we need. He is what we need. He's not giving us. He is. He is the one that we're drinking. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. And our souls were made for Jesus. If you're dissatisfied, you need Jesus. And then the fifth point that I want to make is that we have to realize that this coming and drinking is what it means to believe in Jesus. Because he says in that scripture, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me. So the believing makes us want to drink. The believing makes us want to be satisfied with him. And he's calling us. So to recap, the gift of living water is free. You were made to be thirsty. God's living water will satisfy you forever. Jesus is what you drink. And coming and drinking is believing in Jesus. The secret of fountain living is quenching the thirst of your soul with the living water, Jesus Christ, and not satisfying yourself with cistern drinking, which is stale and contaminated water. And then this beautiful thing in John 7, verse 38 says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within you. Who wants a Sieve Fontaine fountain in them? I definitely want it. I want it. I'm desperate for it. I'm desperate for just that outflowing of that water, of living water that flows out of us, that actually wherever it goes, it brings life. You know, on that farm, the people, the community who owns that farm, they don't know what to do with that water. They don't know what to do with the seven fountains on that farm. They don't know. They're planting, they're bottling, they're sending off. It's in their homes, but there's so much water that they actually don't know what to do with it. And no one's come and put a big pump there to pump it all over the Bavians Kloof, but they've got so much water that wherever it flows, it's wet. You walk and it's wet, and trees grow, and it's just amazing. It's a little portion of, it's like a picture of what Eden could be like, you know? And that's what the Lord wants from us, that wherever we go, the ground is saturated. People are sprinkled with it. His presence goes with us, you know? So that is what he's after. We have to realize that rivers of water will flow because the river maker lives in us. We have to accept that what Jesus has done for us, he lives in us, and he doesn't want to just stay in us. He wants to come out of us. He wants to impact our communities. He wants to be reaching out. Today, I hope when we leave here, we can really say to the Lord, Lord, I want fountain living. I don't want cistern living. I don't want this. I don't want this. And I don't want to sprinkle this on people. And I don't want this to flow out to people in my community, touch my family. I want this, your living water, to flow out. So I'm hoping, as I've been just speaking today, that as I've been going through some of these things and just sharing my heart with you, that the Lord's dropped certain questions in your heart as well. That he's asked you some pointing questions like he did for me on the 3rd of January in my journal. And I'm going to read those questions again, but I'm going to personalize them a little bit. So rather than talk about me, I'm going to talk about you. What and or who is your true source? Is it your man-made cistern or the fountain of living water? Do you draw from both the fountain and the cistern? And can that quench you? What things, people, goals are cisterns in your life that are broken and cannot hold water that will not satisfy your soul? What fountains have you shut off by digging your own well? A simple measure, we could say, you may be praying, you may be reading your word, you might be coming to church. You might be going to all the fellowship groups that's available in this family. The question is, are you inspired? Are you zealous? Are you passionate? Is there life? Because that's an indication of where we're drawing from. You know, sometimes we can go through the motions. I hit it towards the end of last year. I was just so tired, and I was just like going through this motion. I was actually just digging into my own soul, you know, out of this gunk stuff to try and just get through to the holidays so that I could have a rest. And the Lord's saying, no, no, that living, that eternal life that he's giving, that water that he gives us is a thing that flows through us all the time, and we're alive all the time. Do you feel energized and expectant every minute of the day? Do you easily displace fear for faith? Then you are drinking from the fountain. But do you feel weary, fearful, tired, going through the motions, saying the same things, and believing in fading dreams? Could you be drinking from contaminated water? And in closing, I want to pray a prayer for us. Because, you know, as we leave here, some of these things we all know. Some of these things we all know. But I'm trusting that as we leave here this morning, that Holy Spirit would come and he would remind us of the disciplines that we need to put into our own lives to ensure that living water flows through us all the time. And that we're actually not mixing these two together, because it means that when the contamination goes into that, that color is also going to change. And it also becomes contaminated. They cannot co-inhabit. Is that the right word? Okay. So, Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we come and Holy Spirit, would you speak to us about the things in our own lives that need attention this morning? Would you reveal to us the disciplines that we need to put back into our lives? Lord, the areas where we're pulling from our own power, from this man-made thing that we're looking to build, this kingdom that is our, that we think is ours, but actually belongs to you. Lord, would you restore the fountain of your word in our lives? Father, would you restore the fountain of prayer in our lives? Lord, would you restore the fountain of godly fellowship, caring and love for one another? Lord, would you restore the fountain of fasting in our lives, where we say, flesh submit to my spirit? Lord, would you restore the fountain of the good news at a time where there's so much bad news? Lord, would you loosen our tongues to speak Jesus, to encourage about Jesus, to minister Jesus, to give that living water of Jesus? Lord, would you restore the fountain of holiness? You call us your chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You speak about us like that, Lord. So would you restore holiness in our lives, Lord? Would you set us apart? Father, would you restore the fountain of righteousness in our lives, Lord, where we stand for justice, for what is right, where we talk right, where we say the right thing, where we act right, where we walk right, Lord? Lord, would you restore the fountain of healing? And I'm not just talking about the physical healing, Lord. Spirit, mind, and body, Lord, would you bring complete healing in the name of Jesus? That fountain, Lord, that's what we want. And Father, the fountain of worship, Lord, would you restore that? Where Jesus, we just look to you as our King. We adore you. Our eyes are focused on you, constantly, constantly looking for ways to tell you how much we love you and adore you and worship you. Restore that fountain, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask. And Father, as we close this meeting, Lord, I want to invite anyone who needs prayer. Even if you just want to come to the front here as a confession, or if you want to use this opportunity to repent to the Lord, please, I would ask you to come to the front. We don't necessarily have to pray with you. If you want prayer, I'm happy to pray with you. But I would ask that you not leave here without saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for cistern living, and I want to be fountain living. I want you, Jesus, to be in me, to flow out of me. Don't leave here without the opportunity to just say to the Lord again, Lord, I love you. I need you. I adore you. I want you. I'm desperate for you. So, Father, would you come this morning and just fill our souls with what we were created for, and that's you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you.